This is Sea Change Radio, covering the shift to sustainability. I'm Alex Wise.
You know, those dollars were promised to states, to nonprofits, to tribes. They were contracted and we were counting on being able to do that work for our communities.
According to the U.S. Energy Information Administration, 34 million households across America are energy insecure. The Solar for All program was set to provide funding to 60 entities that plan to create or expand existing low-income solar programs and would have enabled 900,000 households nationwide in disadvantaged communities to utilize solar energy to reduce their home energy bills. And yet, the current iteration of the EPA recently announced that the Solar for All program's funding of $7 billion is being terminated. This week on Sea Change Radio, we speak to a solar executive whose organization had its Solar for All funding rug pulled out from under it. Erica Mackey, the co-founder and co-CEO of the solar nonprofit Grid Alternatives, joins the program to give us an overview of the services that her organization provides and to discuss the impact of the EPA's recent decision. I'm joined now on Sea Change Radio by Erica Mackey. She is the co-CEO and co-founder of Grid Alternatives. Erica, welcome back to Sea Change Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, we had you in 2011, and folks can go back into the Sea Change Radio archives and check that out. But for those who aren't longtime listeners, why don't you first give us an overview of the mission of your organization, what it does, and then we'll catch us up to what the organization has been up to in the last decade plus.
Yeah, sounds good. I mean, since 11 years, a lot has evolved in the space and in the organization. So it's good to say it again. We are a nonprofit organization, and we utilize renewable energy as our tool for a higher good. So if you think about climate justice and a climate justice ecosystem, we're primarily builders and innovators in the space. So we, you know, build a diverse workforce of the future in the clean energy space. We install solar batteries and chargers, all for families that otherwise wouldn't be able to benefit from those technologies without our support, and in communities that often are on the front face of many of our environmental issues. So, you know, downstream from dirty power plants or having highways crisscross our neighborhoods, and are, you know, sort of paying the price with our health for dirty energy. And so Grid works to build a really different future for those families. So we install, we train people to get jobs, and then we also work in coalitions to push for better renewable energy and more equitable renewable energy policies in our communities.
So you mentioned the job training element. Why don't you expand on the opportunities you give to people who are formerly incarcerated and people who may not have had skills to be part of the green revolution, and how Grid Alternatives have shaped those lives?
The great thing about clean energy, particularly in the installation world, is like these are jobs that are right here in our communities, you know, in fields, on rooftops, you know, here at home, and can really lift up our communities. So everything that we do, we have this people, planet, and employment component. So it has three legs of the stool. So when we're installing for Mr. Rodriguez or Ms. Smith, we also are training people to get those jobs. So it's a both classroom and rooftop component where we train people. So we have something called installation basic training where folks come into a lab and a classroom, and we have a, you know, multi-unit curriculum that we take them through. So, you know, it's everything from how do you implement safety on a job site to how do you bend conduit, how do you wire up an inverter, how do you place panels, all of that stuff. And then a key component of that is the actual on-the-job training. So then folks go out to an actual installation and put their learning to practice. So, you know, we show them how do you lay out panels on a rooftop? How do you install them? How do you make sure you're safe? All of that. And that's really aimed at folks who are either, you know, maybe folks who don't have a higher education degree and or are really interested in the trades or construction, folks who are making a transition between industries or careers. Maybe they, you know, can't get a job in an industry that is no longer, or, you know, folks that often have some barriers that, you know, by going through this training program and getting lots of support can enter the industry. So, for instance, folks who have been impacted by the criminal justice system and are looking for a job post-incarceration.
Just to clarify, Grid Alternatives is not a solar installation company on its own, correct? You partner with other solar installers.
If you want to consider us a company, right? And it's important that we're a nonprofit because we're, you know, really doing this for a higher purpose. But yes, we're a solar installation company, but we only serve a specific subset of our communities. So in order to apply to get a solar electric system through Grid Alternatives or a solar plus battery system, you need to be income qualified and have an income less than a certain limit. And that limit changes by the county that you live in. So in Oakland, it's different than Los Angeles, that's different than Washington, D.C. But you and your family need to qualify income-wise to participate in our programs. And by and large, all of the systems that we're installing are free of charge to our clients. So you can kind of think of us like, you know, a solar company with a higher purpose. Now, we do also subcontract out some of our work to a network of contractors. And that's really important too, because, you know, there are tons of mom and pop family sustaining contractors that are doing roofing work or electrical work, or maybe even some solar work in their communities. And those folks are often hiring from our job training base. So, you know, combining the we install it and we train someone with we subcontract out the work to an installer and they hire people from the community is a great pairing.
So, Erica, why don't you give us an idea of the reach of your organization from its humble beginnings to where it is now, and then the crossroads you find yourselves at with the federal crisis that we're all facing to some degree?
Sure. So many years ago when we met, it was probably maybe we're a little bit bigger than just myself and Tim Sears, the other co-founder of Grid. But, you know, we started in the Bay Area, just the two of us. We're engineers by training and had been working in the energy efficiency, renewable energy field. But we really couldn't touch and feel that we were making a difference. We were saving Verizon millions of dollars. But, you know, my neighbor across the street was having trouble paying her bills.
So your higher purpose wasn't to save Verizon millions of dollars?
No. I mean, I think everybody, including corporations, should be taking a look at our carbon footprint. And for us, it felt like where we wanted to spend our time was in our own communities. And, you know, we went from two installs in 2004 to, you know, now we have reach across the country and internationally. We have offices up and down California. We have an office in Denver, Colorado. We have an office in Washington, D.C. We have an office in Nicaragua, some remote staff in Nepal, and an office and some staff in Puerto Rico. And then in addition to that, in terms of regional reach, we also have a tribal affiliate that's Native led and run within sort of the Grid Alternatives family. And that program, Tribal Energy Alternatives, works with 70 plus sovereign nations contained within the borders of the United States. So really substantial reach. And when we started, you know, we had a volunteer model. Maybe we did when you interviewed me before. And what happened is that people would start calling us and saying, I really need to come out to volunteer because I applied for a job and they said I couldn't get the job without experience. And you're the only folks where I know how to get that experience without getting a job, right? So it's that. And that then really expanded our workforce development as a key part of everything we do. So in terms of, you know, job training, we do job training out of all of our offices throughout the portfolio of work. And we also have a train the trainer program where we're working in places like Nashville or Illinois, where we don't actually have an office, but we're training other organizations to build out labs and run our installation basic training curriculum.
So why don't you give us a snapshot of your headcount in terms of staff and contractors globally?
We have somewhere between 500 and 600 staff across the organization, and we work with hundreds of contractors and are really building out a contractor network across the country to do a lot of the work where we don't have a footprint.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio, and I'm speaking to Erica Mackey. She's the co-CEO and co-founder of Grid Alternatives. So, Erica, in terms of your funding, maybe give us a little bit of a backstory on that before we get to the recent announcement by the EPA head, Lee Zeldin, that the Trump administration wants to end the Solar for All program, which is a $7 billion program that includes funds that go to Grid Alternatives.
Sure. Our revenue comes from basically trying to patch together any available resource to make renewable energy in our communities happen. And so we, you know, have corporations that donate, individuals, foundations. So we get a lot of philanthropy from donations. And then some of the scale that we've been able to obtain has come from cities or states, or potentially in this case, the federal government, creating policies that become programs that help incentivize or support all of our constituents getting solar. So for instance, in California, there are a couple of really important programs. One is a single family program called DACSASH, which provides support for single family homeowners going solar. And there's another program called SOMA, which provides support for multifamily affordable housing development going solar. So really pairing housing affordability with energy affordability, which we know is already paired in people's minds. If you think about just like, what do you pay every month on your housing costs? A big portion of that is how much you pay for your utilities. So, you know, for states and cities, thinking about how are we going to think about energy affordability for all of our constituents and then creating programs. And that's kind of a way to get to what you're asking about Solar for All, which was a national grant opportunity where each state across the country and nonprofits and tribes could apply to a pot of money to basically make sure that we could have lower income Americans having access to renewable energy. And so Grid Alternatives applied for some of those funds, as well as many states that we work in applied for funds and got them. And we received two grants, one to expand our tribal work in the Southwest, and one to work with affordable housing developers across 29 states. So basically half of America, we were planning on solarizing affordable housing in all of those states. So, you know, I spent the bigger part of, you know, this year working on the Midwest and, you know, bringing our program to affordable housing, both single family and multifamily in the Midwest.
And how dependent are you on these grants? Why don't you give us an idea of what it would mean for these opportunities to dry up?
How dependent we are is, you know, there's a lot of other revenue coming into Grid Alternatives. So we've been doing this for 20 years. We certainly can continue and will continue with or without federal support. And what these grants meant for communities like the one I grew up in, Michigan, was massive, right? It was really taking something that's worked in other places and making that happen in places that often haven't had these opportunities. So, you know, my parents live in Michigan. Their air has been really bad all summer, kind of like some of us in California have experienced before. You know, wildfire smoke descended from Canada and made it so it's really hard to breathe. And when I was meeting with Habitat for Humanity affiliates in Michigan, you know, they were incredibly excited about, oh, you know, finally, we're going to be able to provide lower bills for our partner families. And that's something that's so important to us. And especially with aging infrastructure, where the lines fall down, you know, snow gets on them, they fall down, you're without power, you're paying heavy bills. So both the families that we were talking to and the partners that we were talking to were incredibly excited about, oh, wow, this could provide needed economic benefit in our communities and needed jobs, right? We were, you know, going to work with mom and pop contractors that might be electrical contractor or roofing contractors, but wanted to expand their base into renewable energy. So this is like, you know, jobs in small town everywhere and energy savings. And so I think the loss that's the biggest is not for our organization. It's for our entire country, and particularly for parts of the middle of our country that may or may not have had any kind of access to renewables and the benefits that renewables can provide in our community. So that's what I feel most sad about. Yeah, you know, we can't do the work if we don't have the money to do the work. So the idea that we were going to solarize affordable housing in 29 states without the funds that were going to pay for us to do that, we can't do that.
I get a little lonely in the middle of the night. I need you, darling, to make things all right. Come on, baby, come on, please. Come on, baby, baby, please. Shine on the light, let it shine on me. Shine on your love light, let it shine on me. A little bit higher, a little bit higher. Just a little bit higher, a little bit higher. on, baby.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio, and I'm speaking to Erica Mackey. She's the co-founder and co-CEO of Grid Alternatives. So, Erica, where would Grid Alternatives make up this lost revenue from these grants drying up? You said that you've been operating for 20 years plus, and so you're not completely dependent on the Solar for All program, but you've invested in it, obviously. So to just have that rug pulled out from under you, what does it mean operationally for Grid Alternatives?
It means we can't do that work, right? It can't. We dreamed a very big thing. And I will say, once you dream it, it's very hard to put it in the back in the bottle, right? So the dream is out there. And it wasn't just us. It was our communities. It was, you know, states that were dreaming this dream as well. Families in particular that were like waiting and about to get solar or batteries installed at their homes. But it means we can't do that work. It doesn't mean we can't do work, right? So there's a lot of work that we are doing that is funded at the city or state level, that's funded by philanthropy. That work will continue, and we will continue to talk to, you know, anyone who will listen to say, please support our work, right? The more we are able to raise dollars, the more we're able to get donations, the more we're able to scale and expand the work and serve additional folks who need training and need jobs and additional folks who want energy savings. And the very large scale that we were hoping to achieve in the next 5 years, we aren't going to be able to get there without some significant investment in that work, right? So this, you know, just one of our grants was going to serve 37,000 households across 29 states. Most of those, you know, states in, say, the Midwest, the Southwest, the Pacific Northwest, the South. So, you know, we were going to work in all of these states. And, you know, we don't have the answer to how can we do that work without federal dollars. I don't have the answer to that.
And by nature, grants aren't necessarily a long-term financial solution for an organization like yours, or one particular grant. But what does it mean that something like renewable energy has been so politicized that the obvious need for cleaner energy has been subsumed by this talking point that it's blue versus red? And what does that mean for an organization like yours moving forward, applying for grants, not just on a federal level, but we could see politicization of this issue on city and state levels as well?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of a hopeful person, so I still continue to believe that regardless of your political party, we all breathe the same air and want to leave a better world for our kids or our neighbors' kids or just, you know, the generations that come after us. I grew up in a really, you know, politically diverse place. You know, people were recycling before their time. You know, it's like this farm community. So it was like, oh, composting and recycling and doing anything you can to, you know, take care of the world that's around you, the nature that's around you, it was important. And I see that consistently. I think it's hard for me to believe that maybe we have politicized the word climate, but I really don't think that average people think solar power is bad.
No, and especially if you look at like the DIY solar movement.
Right? Yeah.
This is coming from Red America, where people, they want to be untrammeled by public utilities and the rising costs of utilities. They want to be independent of that. So solar should not be something that is red or blue. It should just be yellow, sun, and green in terms of savings.
Totally, right? Like green in your pocket and green for the air, right? So I think lots of people want to save money on their bills, and all of us are paying increasing amounts of money to utility companies. We just are, right? My bills are big. I know, you know, my friends' bills are big. Grid Alternatives clients' bills are big. So anything we can do that has the benefit of doing something for the world we care about and putting more money in our pockets, it's not... It shouldn't be politicized. And so I still really feel hopeful that there's a lot of folks that want to fund that work, that want to make that equitable. So they want, you know, their neighbors who don't have as much money to be able to have access to lower bills, and that there are funders that want to fund that. It might not be this particular funder, but I think there's still a lot of folks that want to support that kind of work and invest in our communities that way.
Is there a way for you and these 60 other recipients to work together to try to move forward, Erica?
I think there's lots of ways, and that group of awardees has been particularly organized. So this whole year, ever since states and tribes and nonprofits got these awards, we've been convening to talk about, you know, oh, your program in Michigan is going to serve these folks, and our program is going to be able to serve these folks. How do we cross-reference people? How do we make sure it's really coordinated? And there's lots of communication between awardees about, you know, rolling out the program, about preserving the program, about how to navigate termination letters. And so there's a lot of community. And I think that sort of goes to the same thing. Like, a lot of entities were dreaming about massive amounts of infrastructure investment in our communities in a way that would really lift up so many folks, bring jobs, and bring savings. And those folks at the center of rolling out that those many, many programs are definitely, you know, linked together because of this collective dream. You know, those dollars were promised to states, to nonprofits, to tribes. They were contracted, and we were counting on being able to do that work for our communities.
So you never even received that money?
We received termination letters. Until then, we were able to do the work and invoice.
So you have been receiving some funds since the Biden administration?
We have been, yes.
She's the co-founder and co-CEO of Grid Alternatives, Erica Mackey. Erica, thanks so much for being my guest on Sea Change Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Sway the future to the past and find what will endure.
You've been listening to Sea Change Radio. Our intro music is by Sanford Lewis, and our outro music is by Alex Wise.
Additional music by Chris Joss, The Rolling Stones, and Bobby Bland.
Check out our website at seachangeradio.com. That's seachangeradio.com to stream or download the show or subscribe to our podcast. Visit our archives there to hear from Bill McKibben, Van Jones, Paul Hawken, and many others. And tune in to Sea Change Radio next week as we continue making connections for sustainability. For Sea Change Radio, I'm Alex Wise.